I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Lenta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca. It's Monday, November 2nd, 2015.
So, I guess this is the first Monday after Halloween. Do you have a good Halloween weekend, Jackie?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Very, very eventful.
And I guess with kids it was good, too, because there was the time change, so you got an extra hour.
Well, the extra hour doesn't come in till midnight, right?
At 2 a.m., I guess, yeah.
Or something like that. So that didn't really affect us. But we were out quite late, about 9:30, I mean. Part and partial because, you know, my eldest had a very dramatic night with her. So that kept us out a little longer than we intended, but it was a good night.
Did you said last week that you were going to not trick or treat in the neighborhood, that you were going elsewhere. Did you do that?
We did. So we went actually closer to the main, west of Maine area, mm-hmm. with some friends of my daughter's from school and her mom. So we were over on that side of Vancouver, and it was so great. There were so many kids out, and people did amazing, like, they were having block contests of decorated houses.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot for the kids to see. It was really fun. It was nice, actually, for me, too, because we don't get that, a lot of that around here in East Van. And, like, lights were on. It was great.
Was the candy, was it better?
Oh, my God. They got, like, full chocolate bars
really?
At some houses. Big chocolate bars. Yeah. And so it was, I was with my little one and her friends, like I was saying.
Yeah.
My eldest, this year, she's 12. So she went to a party earlier in the day. And then later in the evening, her friend that happens to live next door to my friend's house that we were at, she decided to go trick-or-treating with them. Because, of course, you know, to be 12 and going with a parent would just be weird.
Yeah.
But anyways, long story short, I guess she went out with her friends, and you know how kids are when they're all jacked up on the candy and running around in the dark. And she was supposed to be home at 9, and she didn't come back till like 9:30, and of course I was freaking out. And
was she the only one missing, or were the other kids missing too?
There were other kids missing.
Oh, I
but,
see. Okay, yeah.
But you know, I it just so happened that my phone was out, so I took her cell phone, I just assumed they were going out with a parent. I thought a parent was going to at least go with them, but there wasn't. So, yeah, it was a learning lesson for both of us.
So the lesson's what? The kids have to have phones now?
No, the lesson for me is I need to ask more questions when I'm leaving my children with people.
Mm.
And so that was a parenting lesson for me. Usually I do, but, you know, considering, like I said, we weren't in our area.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was dark. So she was around an area where there are lots of kids from her school. So as they saw different kids from the school, they'd run off. And she didn't get lost. She was with a group of kids, and she kept saying, you know, typical story, like, oh, guys, we got to go. It's getting late. And they were like, oh, just one more house. You know, I told her, this is life, man. When you get older, it's going to be the same thing when you go to a party. You're going to have to be home at 11.
Yeah.
And then everyone's going to be like, no, we're waiting for this guy. And it'll happen again. Like, it's just, these are life lessons. But you need to know, you basically have to be able to take care of yourself. And especially because she was with all boys. She's a bit of a tomboy. So all of her friends are boys. And she's the only girl with all these boys last night, and she didn't know the area, so I was freaking out.
But at least she didn't break off. If she just left on her own, that would have been more dangerous, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I was really happy that she didn't do that, because again, she doesn't know the area. But I said, you know, we've gone over these things, and she was like, I was just getting worried, and she was stressed out. Like, when I did actually, when she came back to the house, which was like 2 minutes after we left to go and find her, she was just like beside herself, bawling her face off, because she was like, I was just so stressed out. She's like, I knew I needed to be home. And she's like totally panicking. I'm like, you're safe. You're here. You're alive. Okay, like, relax. You know, little Sophia thought she was never going to see her sister again. It was a very traumatic experience for all of us.
What do you do after? I mean, next year, what's the plan next year? I guess you'll have a plan next year, won't you?
Next year, she's not leaving my side. She's going to be like 5 feet within my reach.
Yeah.
And within definite eye contact, which will be even weirder because next year she'll be 13, and I'm sure she won't want that. But, you know, this is enough for me.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, she won't. If she doesn't like that, then she doesn't have to go out then, right?
Well, that's exactly.
Yeah.
You know. So, that was our Halloween.
Yeah, I find Halloween, because I even as a kid, I didn't enjoy going out, so I wouldn't do that. I mean, I did probably when I was really young, like maybe in like kindergarten or something, but then as I got older, I didn't really care for it anymore, right? So, I would usually hand out candy, but...
Did you do that this year? Did you stay home and give out candy?
No, I didn't. I went out for dinner.
Oh, and then, you did that on purpose.
Yeah. I was meeting up with some people that were in town, so they just happened to be in town otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. But I find even, I don't know how to explain this, people dropping in, I don't enjoy that. And so standing there, waiting for people, ringing the bell, knocking on the door, asking for candy. I find that odd.
It's a bit intrusive, yeah.
But, I mean, if you do turn off the light and you close the drapes or something, I guess they know not to go to that house, right?
Yeah, that's the sign. That's, like, the universal message. I mean, if you're my children, that apparently means nothing. If they see any shred of light, they're like, no, that means someone's home. Okay, but that doesn't mean they're giving out candy.
Yeah.
Jesus, doesn't mean you have to turn off all your lights? But yeah, I mean, the whole thought of somebody just coming to your door randomly just because on this specific night it's allowed. It's kind of weird. I don't really like it any other day.
No, so you don't like. But do you do that yourself though? Do you drop in on people?
No.
Yeah.
It's a bit rude.
Yeah. See, stress isn't the right word because I don't really get stress, but
it's anxiety.
Yeah, well, yeah, I find it weird too, and I find it just intrusive. And
it's very intrusive.
And so, I don't mind people dropping by, but you know, do make an appointment or something, or you know,
make a scheduled drop by.
Yeah,
don't
that's
just drop by.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I remember once. Well, when I just had Sophia, my mom, she lives up the street from me, but Sophia was always a good sleeper. But again, I always had the problem with sleeping.
Yeah.
So this particular morning, I swear it must have been like 7:30 in the morning, and I just kind of fell asleep and then had to be up in a few hours to get Simone off to school. And of course, my mom, like, just came to my house and rang my doorbell at 7:30 in the morning and then was, like, kind of offended when I was kind of rude about being awoken at 7:30 a.m. Like, first of all, you live up the street. You could have called first, and you usually do call. Why all of a sudden are you just coming and ringing my door? Who does that? It's kind of rude.
Well, she's your mom after all, though, isn't she?
I know.
Well, what?
She, of all people, should know this, that I'm not really a morning person, and nor do I like to be surprised.
Well, then you know what you should do then is give her a key.
Yeah, that's never going to happen in life. Never. No. You know what? I thought about it just for, like, insurance purposes, if there's a fire, and I'm like, yeah, no, I have insurance. I'd rather not.
Do you have a key to her house still?
Nope.
Huh.
Nope.
Okay.
Don't need it.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? But I have, you know, I can't say dropped in on her because she's funny like this.
Yeah.
Even if I do drop in at her house, if she's not in the mood to, like, conversate, she'll just stay in her room. So she's not really interested in drop-ins either.
Yeah.
I've done it, but there's also my brothers are there. She's not the only person there.
Yeah.
So she gets it. So, it, you know, she doesn't have to act like this is foreign to her.
Yeah, well...
Parents are like... I think it's a parent thing.
Yeah. Well, it's life, I guess. It's funny how... But it's funny as we grow older, we develop these things.
Well, the things that we don't like, like these little annoyances.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, being easily accessible by cell phone. That drives me a bit nuts, too.
Yeah. Well, I was cell phone-less for a day this week, and my phone died, and I couldn't reboot it, and I was trying to get the BlackBerry people on Twitter to help me, and it still wouldn't reboot. So then I thought, well, you know, I'm up for, I guess the plan. I'm allowed to get a new phone on the plan or whatever.
Right.
So I was so I did that, and I got a phone within a day.
Oh.
So for 24 hours, I was without a phone, and it was funny because I kept my old phone with me just in case I could, you know, I brought it to work just in case I could boot it up again or something.
Revive it?
Yeah, and I knew it was dead, but I mean, when I kept it on my desk, I kept reaching for it as I usually would. So it's funny
mental, how the brain works?
Yeah, yeah, it's these habits. So I had to put it away in, like, my bag so I wouldn't reach for it.
Yeah.
But, no, I was fine for the day. I mean, the phone's broken before, and the last time it broke was about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and I was away from it for about 3-4 days, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Right. It's not. Like, you know, I've been out, I think I've been without my phone now this is a week now.
Really?
So at first it was just because my bill was out of control, and I figured, oh, that can wait a day or two.
Yeah.
And then I just felt like, you know, I don't really want to spend this money on my phone bill.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that happens to me sometimes, but I just felt like on my list of priorities, it wasn't like the biggest of my priorities.
Yeah.
And I figured I could just kind of pay it when I felt like paying it. So,
but do you find, though, that you're missing, the texting or checking the phone when you have a free moment to look at social media?
I still get Wi-Fi on it, so I can still use it for, you know, email and things like that. And I get Wi-Fi at work and at home. So for most of my day, it's good, other than just, you know, phone calls and... texting.
Yeah.
Of course, I can still use WhatsApp, and I figure whoever really needs to get a hold of me can, you know, get a hold of me. I get a hold of you. You get a hold of me through email.
Yeah.
I call my daughter has a phone, so I use her phone if I need to actually make contact with real people.
Do you have a landline in your house?
No.
Has that been forever, or is that just a recent...
No, I just got rid of the landline about a year ago.
Really?
Only because we spend not very much time at home.
Yeah.
And with my daughter, I mean, it was nice to have it because, you know, sometimes she's here by herself after school for an hour or so. But for the most part, she has a cell phone and...
I guess people don't need it, right?
No, it just to me seemed, you know, it was another one of those moments, just another bill to pay, and I figured we don't need it.
So do you think landlines will go the way, say, of things that we used to have that we won't have now, that we won't have in the future?
Possibly. There's still, like, some real, you know, old school people who feel like they need a landline.
Yeah, I've noticed in the last 5 years or so that because when I do interviews with people, mind you, cell phone quality has improved, but I remember when I started the show 11, 12 years ago, I would insist on a landline because the quality was better, but cell phone quality has improved, as I said. But even 5 years ago, 6 years ago, people, some people wouldn't have a landline. Says, no, I just have a cell phone, and that surprised me, but I guess it shouldn't surprise me.
It did, for me, yeah, a few years ago, it was definitely surprising to me. I was like, what, you can't just have a no landline? But I myself turned into one of those people, surprisingly. I never thought I would, but it just seemed like it's almost the same as having a cell phone, essentially.
Yeah. And cable is like something that people don't have now.
Phasing out, totally.
Yeah.
I went through that period as well through the summer, and I think I'm gonna keep doing this every summer. I got rid of my cable in the summer because we're not home as often. You know, it's summer, right? The whole objective is to get out and do stuff. My kids are in camp, and they're doing stuff in the summer, so there's no reason that they need to be fixated in front of the TV. So I just, last summer, or this summer past, I got rid of the cable, and we were fine. You get the anxiety, you know, just like the cell phone without having a phone, sort of anxiety the first day or so. But you get over that real quickly. We spent a lot of time at the library.
Yeah.
And renting movies or just books or just hanging out at the library in general.
Your kids watch a lot of YouTube?
Oh, gosh. Do they ever. They watch probably... YouTube's a whole other... It's like TV now.
Yeah.
So these certain YouTube channels have their own followings and quite big followings because there's a whole section in Forbes magazine of YouTube millionaires.
So these people are, I guess, regular people who aren't celebrities, and they make videos on YouTube, and then they make money. But how do they make $1 million? That's what I don't get.
Well, they're making the money off advertising.
I see.
Right. So a couple, like, one set of guys I can talk about, Rhett and Link. These guys, they have a show called The Rhett and Link Show on YouTube. And these guys are actually two pretty smart guys. They're in their late 30s, I think 38 and 37. But they both have engineering degrees. They both worked in corporate America before starting this YouTube channel. And so their show's called Good Mythical Morning. My daughter watches it quite often. It's almost kind of like, I think of it as like a spin-off of kind of like Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yeah.
But they kind of cover a wide array of topics. But it's a morning show kind of geared towards kids, and they talk about things that they would be interested in but are yet knowledgeable as well. So I've avoided it for some time. Not really avoided it. I just was kind of ignorant to it. I didn't know anything about this until I started watching, and they're quite funny. They're really funny. But they're number 5 on the list, and they made $4.5 million in 2015.
So they get sponsors for the show.
They've got sponsored deals from Gillette, Wendy's, Toyota. So these are some pretty big names that are sponsoring these guys.
Huh.
Yeah, and I know even with their Toyota sponsorship, from what I've seen on the show, they have like a weekly getting around town or something segment, and it's sponsored by Toyota, which I think is, again, amazing.
Yeah. And so they produce the thing, they get the sponsors, and it just goes on YouTube, and then a lot of people, including yourself and your kids, watch it.
These kids are watching it, and they love it, and these guys are making millions.
Huh.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these shows, and you've seen more of them than I have, they are... I guess there is a serious element if they're presenting, but I guess we're drawn to YouTube or homemade movies, I guess, because they're made by regular people.
Well, yeah, I guess that's
and they have to be funny too, right?
Right. These ones that are geared towards the older kids, yeah, they have to be funny, of course, because what keeps these 12 to whatever Simone's age and older. What keeps them engaged? There has to be some humor to it, while learning, of course. So That's great. I find she is learning a lot from it. But the younger ones, like Sophia, there's nothing but videos of people like opening boxes, opening Kinder Surprise eggs. I don't know how much those people make, but I can say that there is, there's one lady in particular who I know my youngest daughter watches on YouTube quite a bit. She does a cooking show.
Yeah.
Her name is Rosanna Pansino. She made $2.5 million last year on YouTube with her cooking show, Nerdy Nummies. So she's a self-trained chef. And yeah. She does baking tutorials on YouTube. And my little one, I caught her watching this the other day. I don't find anything particularly fascinating about it, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, my 7.5-year-old watches it, and this woman has made $2.5 million. So I guess all is good in the world.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if we can monetize this thing.
Well, you know. I figured, what am I doing working? These people are, you know, give me a break. You should just record this and, you know, like, put it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, and
I'm
sell
sure
it.
Somebody will want to sponsor us.
Yeah, brought to you by so-and-so, right?
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Yeah. Well, then the people can email us our Twitter handles and tweet us, I guess, if they want to sponsor. And we'll take all offers, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I asked a question on Facebook the other night about because I started watching the Andy Griffith Show again, and wondering if there were any colored people on the Andy Griffith Show, and some guy, a friend of mine, pointed me to this podcast that's just on the Andy Griffith Show, and every week he does a podcast on the Andy Griffith Show. It's on YouTube, and he's done hundreds of these things now over. I don't know how many years, but more than 5 years at least.
Right.
And it's he did point out there was one episode where the character was black and he was on there. And then he was showing pictures of other people, you know, other people in Mayberry who were colored that lived there. And so, but I mean, I just thought of him because he, as I said, he has a sponsor on his podcast, a grocery store, I guess, in his hometown that's paying for this. So I guess, you know, there are people, I mean, even if it's just about the Andy Griffith Show, you can get a sponsor.
There's people that will sponsor that.
Yeah.
Well, obviously people are listening to it.
But we've always been interested, though, in videos. I mean, you go back 25 years to when, remember when America's Funniest Home Movies or videos came out?
Oh, yes.
And how huge that was?
Oh, it was, like, amazing. It was amazing then.
And it's still a hit. It's still on, isn't it?
It is. It is still on. And you know, Alfonso Ribeiro is the new host.
I thought it was a Dancing with the Stars guy.
Yeah, no, he's switching it up. So I think he's going to go to Dancing with the Stars full time, and he's passing this off to Alfonso.
Yeah, but I mean, even that's, I mean, even with the cell phone and YouTube, that's still a hit.
It is. And it's, I don't know, you know what? I don't think there is any time when seeing people like injure themselves or other people's misfortunes always seems to be a hit for people, right? Will that ever go out of style?
No, I don't think so.
So, you know, it's always a win. Even if it's fake. I don't even, you know, how much of that on America's Funniest Home Videos? You know, sometimes you're like, come on, really? How could you have caught that on, really?
Yeah.
But we still watch it, even just for laughs. That show is...
Oh, that, yeah. I mean, that shows up on Facebook all the time.
Oh, gosh.
And I find myself watching that, and I hate the videos that play by themselves on Facebook. But I mean, even dog videos, animal videos, and I've never had a pet, but... If a dog's playing with a kangaroo or something, I'll watch that.
It can be. I'll watch that, yeah. And it's like, you know what? That's like maybe 2 minutes or 30 seconds of your life you'll never get back. But this is what the internet and the whole accessibility of cell phones and all of this has done to us, right? And coming back to all of that, this time without my cell phone, I found that I've finished a book this week.
Huh. Huh.
And I've started a new one because usually I'll sit on the SkyTrain and I'll just go through my phone and just look at mindless, you know, cat
yeah.
videos and irrelevant things on my cell phone. But now I don't have it, so I'm reading and I'm doing things that make sense, and I'm not at the beck and call of people texting me and feeling like I have to respond within 30 seconds. So I feel it's been very liberating not having a cell phone.
So will you get it back, though, or?
Oh, yeah, I will, yeah. eventually, because my kids are, you know, Simone needs to get a hold of me. After this whole, that whole incident yesterday with Halloween, or on Saturday
yeah.
with Halloween, she didn't have her phone with her, because I had it.
Mm.
So now I have a bit of guilt about that, so I'm like, okay, I gotta get my phone back. Obviously, there is some benefit to it.
So while the kids were out trick-or-treating, were you with the other parents then, or?
Well, while Simone was out trick-or-treating.
Oh, I guess you had your youngest
yeah,
with you, I guess,
so
right?
Yeah, so I had yeah. my youngest. I was out with her and her friends and that mom.
I see.
But Simone was with the kid that lives next door to that mom. So the plan was when she was done, she was going to come right back and we'd meet there and then we'd go to our home.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah. So, do you recommend that, though, going to other neighborhoods for Halloween?
Hey, yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's a nice change.
Yeah. The Sun, I guess the Sun's website had this, the Vancouver Sun had an article about this website that was charting where the good candy was this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's funny on Twitter how many people relied on that for,
wow. What were do you recall what some of the
yeah they say the north of like northeast Vancouver
okay
was a lively part of town to be in, like McLean and Commercial and up there.
Oh, definitely there was. Yeah, I think there was trick or treating going on Commercial Drive.
Yeah, but I mean, even at Christmas, isn't that neighborhood up there northeast Vancouver by the water almost? Isn't that
yes.
always like always decorated and things like
it's
that?
It's so. Always pretty lively. Yeah.
I can't remember where else in town was popular, but.
Well, I can tell you where we were, like just off Main Street, kind of
like King Ed.
Like the old Tupper area.
Yeah.
Actually, my friend lives next to Total Ed, the is it Alternative Learning School?
Okay.
I think so. But she lives right next to there. So in that neighborhood, it was insane. Like, people had a Halloween alley. The whole alley, like, the neighbors all got together and did this alley. It was just amazing for the kids. That,
yeah.
Like, that stuff did not happen in my area.
Yeah, in my neighborhood here at Fraser and King Ed, there were... at the end of the evening, you know, sort of after
yeah.
everyone was trick-or-treating, I could hear the fireworks and the firecrackers and the sort
oh,
of...
Oh, for sure.
And so that was pretty...
down at the school.
Yeah, it was pretty loud, you know, where I was, so I'm sure there were a lot of people involved in that.
Oh, yeah, it was loud. It was loud over at our house, too, when we came back home later. It was pretty loud, but we were all so tired that I mean, I was sleeping before 11 o'clock. It was,
But yeah, at least you got that extra hour, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, but, I mean, I was a little annoyed when I got up this morning, and I'm like, oh, 8 o'clock, and then it was like, oh, no, it's 7. I'm up so early.
Oh, so you didn't change your clock?
Well, I have my cell phone on. It changes automatically.
Yeah, yeah.
But my alarm clock in my room... It's just a little flick of a switch, but I hadn't flicked that switch yet, so it was still an hour ahead this morning.
Yeah, see, that's what I hate, and I should have tweeted the news anchors, because they always say, Saturday before, they say, don't forget to change your clocks before you go to bed. Well, I'm one of those people that's up at 2 a.m., so I'll...
Right.
Don't say, you know, before bed, because then it'll be... 2 hours or so after.
That could be exactly. Exactly.
Everyone assumes that we just have regular hours, you know.
We and we don't. So that's part and parcel a bit of the problem.
Yeah. I think we're close to half an hour, so I think we can. I don't know. Do you still want to do the?
You want to save it? We can save.
Yeah, we can save it for next week, and then that way we can say, well, you know, we had the cell phone thing.
Right.
Will you get the cell phone? What else won't we get? We won't get. I mean, we don't have landlines. We don't have cable. What else won't we have in the future? Yeah.
Right.
So do you want to just? We'll end it here then.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, I think we've had a good little discussion this morning.
We did, and have a good week, and I'll talk to you next Monday.
Great. So that's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, November 2nd, 2015.
God, it's November already. It'll be Christmas soon, won't it?
Oh, definitely. It's coming quickly. 7.5 weeks.
It feels like it was just summer, and then now it's Christmas.
It goes by so fast. Maybe it's our age. It's all a flash.
Indeed. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.